Back with you from a finally warm and sunny Los Angeles. I'm Stephen Young, and this is the Face Therapy Today podcast. I know many of our audiences are researchers who are used to dealing with materials on a lab scale. And in face therapy, one of the many hurdles that we have to face and companies need to come across is about scaling up. How to produce enough phages meeting quality standards directly determines how many patients can get access to phage therapy. And today's guest is going to help us paint a picture of good manufacturing practices in phage producing. Will got his PhD in 2011 from University of Ljubljana with his thesis titled The Development of Technology for Production of Plasma DNA and Bacteriophages Applied in Human Treatment. Well, that's direct enough. Frank Smrekar worked on various projects at BIA separations involving manufacturing and purification processes of bacteriophages. And after his graduation in 2012, he founded DEFRO. And in 2014, he became the Senior Director of Process Development and Manufacturing at Amplify Biosciences, and now known to us as Amarta. And starting from 2017, Frank went back to DEFRO and currently serving as CEO. Frank, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you here.
Hey, Stephen, thank you. It's really honored that you invited me. I'm happy to be here, and all the interesting topics that we said we'll discuss, I really look forward.
Great. You know, I feel like you got quite a story here. And so please fact check me with your story over here, what I just said, and, you know, tell us about how you get involved with bacteriophages, your journey, and how you get to where you are right now.
Thanks. It's been quite an interesting journey for now. So yeah, all the facts are correct. Maybe it doesn't sound as they are completely would be easy to connect, but yeah, it's everything started with my PhD. I did my PhD, funny enough, a long time ago, 2011. So I defended, and at that time, there was not a lot of discussion about phage manufacturing, especially at the GMP level. And I did the phage and the plasmid DNA. But yeah, that was my thesis. So how I came to the field is during my work at bioseparations, they are developing the chromatography columns for various viruses, and the phages were one of the model system. It was not planned as a phage therapy at that time. So that was my job. That was my PhD. So using the phages to understand their columns. And funny enough, during my PhD, I figured out that phages can be found also something else as a phage therapy and other phage usage, as a gene delivery, something like that. So that is how I started. Then I went to the 2005 to the first conference, and a long time ago, I was really impressed with what the possibility are of the phage technology. So as older audience maybe know that the phages didn't develop the field as fast as we thought at 2005, but nevertheless, I'm happy to be so long in the field that I see the really fast progress now. So nevertheless, so after did the PhD, I also worked for the Roche pharmaceutical company, the big pharma, for a bit, just to see how that works and also gain some experience, and then found the company Jofrau, which the purpose was actually just as we are doing now, like a CMO, CDMO, so contract manufacturing organization. The fact was that there were a lot of CMOs for other biomolecules, but everybody wanted to avoid bacteriophages because for a lot of them, it's contamination because they work with the bacterial cells for recombinant proteins, something like that. So they didn't want to risk introducing project with a phage for their like big projects on the recombinant proteins. So that actually made a possibility for us to help that one. So we founded the company, and then at the beginning, we had only the research labs and not the GMP facility. So we developed GMP processes, and then we did the tech transfer to specific company. And that along the way, the company that we started working with was also Amplify, as you mentioned. So We developed the GMP process, and we started to develop that process to their CMO at that time. But then, because of good collaboration, the Amplify decided to move everything and build the company and the facility in Slovenia, just because of Jafral, because of our good collaboration. We didn't, at that time, they didn't purchase Jafral as a company, but just the whole employee moved there, and we were in charge for building the facility, setting up, getting certification. We also successfully produced first clinical trial material in 2015, which was successfully used in US and then Australia. So, and then we worked in that facility as it was their own facility, it's not a CMO. Then in 2017, so just because the field developed, I decided to go out to reignite Jafral, because for the time being I was exclusively for Amplify. Because of good collaboration with Amplify, I still helped them to develop to manage their facility, so Amplify Slovenia. And because that was their facility, as a Jafral, we had to build a new one with a for clean rooms for GMP certification. And then in 2019, Amplify joined with C3J, and now, as you mentioned, it's Armata. So, and because they had the GMP facility already in Los Angeles, so they didn't need two of them. So we had a, so they offered us to purchase the Amplify Slovenia, let's say, like this facility and the whole company. So now we're where we are at the moment. We have actually two GMP facilities with both have certifications, as technically from pharmaceutical point of view, for biologics and for ATMP, so for natural and for GMP phages. Yeah, and to my knowledge, we are the leader in the GMP production of phages, produce the most clinical trial materials, and we have, yeah, it's really good to have two facilities. So it has to run 24/7. If something goes wrong in one side, potentially, if it would, we have the second one and the risk management or critical process parameters. So yeah, so this is in short all connecting all the dots from the beginning to here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you know, it sounds like you basically spent your whole career involving, like, basically starting from your PhD project all the way here, having your work regarding this GMP in bacteriophage production. I feel like you already hinted something over here, but I'm going to start with a simple question. So what is GMP and why is it important in any biological process productions?
It's really good question, just because honestly, I'm in my base, I'm still a researcher. I still believe that's like the driver for everything. And when I was first introduced in GMP, it was like, what, do we really need so many documentation for everything? But as from time to time, if I have some lectures for students, I try to explain like this. So why is GMP important? So GMP is not, so good manufacturing practice, GMP is not something that few guys would say, okay, we need this one, but it actually developed through many years of the pharmaceutical production based on the bad cases. If something went wrong and they say, okay, now we have to be careful and introduce some kind of systemic way that something is written that it doesn't happen, that people don't die. So it's evolving. That's why at least in US you have good term, it's actually CGMP, curing good manufacturing practice, based on what is knowledge. From the other side, from the research, I'll just say, yeah, it's what GMP means. It's instead of doing just inoculation of aromatic flask, and I have the in the morning, and I have the phages at the end of the day, like 8 hours work maximum. If GMP, would that take, now I'm making my mind, 1 week, just because you have to document where did you do done the work, was the equipment qualified, was the raw material check that is correct, was the operator trained, was the everything, the QC method. So it's a lot of work. It's also then expensive. But again, if you look from the patient point of view, let's say like this, it's assuring that the product will always be reproducible and the same quality. So sometimes I already say if we have some kind of production, I don't know, somebody researcher or me, I developed the process, right? I was working on that one 3 months. Even if I go after 3 months back, I'm not then working for 3 months on that process, maybe I'll forget something, right? And that is one thing, how good I record that one. If you transfer that to the second facility or you do the scale, if you want to assure that this is the same quality, you have to record the stuff. You have to written down, so you have to check. So with the GMP, for me, it's yeah, have a good practice how something is produced that you can assure the same quality and the same safety for the patient at the end.
I see. Yep, that's a great way to explain it. And so my second following question is, because we're talking about bacteriophage, phage therapy, you also talk about how that is something, the viruses is something in traditional, in more traditional sense, I'm gonna guess this is regarding something like recombinant proteins, antibodies. So how is bacteriophage manufacturing different from a more traditional sense of manufacturing?
Just from the manufacturing point of view, there is not such a big difference. For example, if you now say either recombinant protein or let's say the human virus, adenovirus, whatever. So it's they're the same steps. So you need to have like cell bank, or like the production host bank, and then the viral banks or the phage bank. Then you're doing the upstream growing for the same as the recombinant proteins you would grow in the E. coli, for example. That's the upstream. Then at the end of the upstream, you're doing the clarification, the same for recombinant protein or for the phage or for human viruses. So, and then you're doing the downstream purification, different chromatographies, stuff like that. So, and then analytics is so in the big picture step, there is no major difference. Of course, if you know all these techniques for the upstream, for the downstream, if you have feed batch or batch process, order then downstream with the phages, there are maybe two specifics because they are large molecules, and I don't know, they can be exposed to the shear forces. You have to be aware of that. Capacities can be different. That is definitely one thing which may be different to recombinant proteins, and that you maintain the potency, so the viability of the phage till end of the process. But in general, yeah, I would say more or less typical steps.
I see. Well, that's actually quite a surprise to me because, you know, from an outsider perspective, we would imagine that because phage lyses all the cells, and we would thought like, but maybe that's just details to you. So I think that actually cracked a lot of the assumptions over here. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's true. So for me, that's the details, but in principle, as a steps, it's the same. So, but and maybe one thing which is important also, and that's why at least if you are doing the R&D, but especially if you're doing the bigger scale production, it's also the cross contamination check. So because they are live, right? So you can, if you're not careful, you can have cross contamination between two phages. And if you have recombinant proteins, that's not the case. So the system is important, how you handle all the stuff so that the securities are in place.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, like your company is probably the leader in bacteriophage production right now. And the required amount of phages produced under GMP could be a direct reflection of how the development of phage therapy. And, you know, I think it's just so amazing that you actually started this in 2011 when phage therapy wasn't that hot of a topic yet. What changes have you seen? What kind of progress are you seeing in phage therapy?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm old enough that I can actually say for the last 15 years, as I'm joking a bit. But so, yeah, as I said, initially when I entered, let's say 2005, when I was still PhD student, and I say, oh, it was really vibrant. So a lot of phage projects were quite some started. And then I have to say that everything slowed down a lot. So just because the first projects, first clinical trials didn't show as good efficacy as everybody would expect, that's a miracle. And then again, that's my subjective perspective, but I did saw, so when we were at the at the scientific meetings. There was a lot of discussion to phage scientists. So yeah, how phages are great at technology, but the other, so you need also the investors, you need also the other industries to be involved, and why the big pharma is not interested in. But I do think that, again, really lucky outcome, not lucky, but yeah, I mean, for the Tom Patterson case, so their dedication, how they solved the case, and luckily, and also we were partially as amplifying both in that one, but also after that one, also what how they promoted the phage therapy, how they are still promoting the phage therapy with the book and everything. My point of view was that they did put some additional interest into the phage field, into phage therapy, which now is moving forward. And as I'm let's say hopeful that it's the same as for every experiment. If you have only one shot, certain things you do right, some things you don't know. It's not that you're doing wrong, but you have to learn. And if you have one, two clinical trials, the less chances that you will have successful drugs at the end. But at the moment, there are quite few clinical trials with the phages. And I think it's positive that it's not who wins, but that a project, a clinical trial learns from other, and they will learn from the same. So with that one, you push the whole field forward with this knowledge, because at the end of the day, it is unique, the drug. So you cannot just say we'll replace the antibiotics because it's specific. It works differently. So with more clinical trials that are happening now, I am hopeful that we'll see finally the efficacy like clearly shown. And again, also if some clinical trial is not showing at the first stage the efficacy as we would like, they will learn something, but they will have still opportunity, maybe see something else and somewhere else and say, okay, we have to do this one, and then we can repeat and do so. I am, just because there are more and more activity on that field, I'm hopeful that we'll all together see the good efficacy of the phage therapy, and that's what is, I think, needed to move the thing forward. Maybe the other stuff I do separate. So one maybe is traditional way of drugs to bring on the market. The second one is more personalized medicine, as they are doing in Europe, trying in Belgium, and also now the whole EU or the APT. So I think that they're both ways possible. But of course, also in that part, I'm hopeful also from the regulatory point of view that things move forward. And yeah, let's see how it goes, hopefully.
Yeah, so before I pivot to your company, I just want to catch you with one last point. So because of your unique location, you know, you also work internationally with the US and also you're currently in Europe. How do you see the differences? Are there any differences you observe in things are done in Europe and things are done in the US?
You mean from the GMP production or in the phage therapy field?
I think both, you know, just being curious.
Okay, so I have to say that most of, so since we are based in Europe, we have to comply to the European GMP legislation. And I have to say that would be for another podcast, but definitely it was interesting also when we were certifying the first time facility, and our regulatory agency came to us. And they say, really, phages? And there were no guidelines what to follow, how to do that one. So, and right. I have to say, and we have to be really grateful to them that they did took the approach that we discussed together and say, okay, these are the guidelines, like general guidelines. So how do we fit now the phages into that? So what do we do? And that was the first experience. But so technically, we have to, of course, first comply to the EU GMP. And in the EU, we have at the end of the production, before the patient gets the drug, we need a qualified person, so a person that is responsible and sign off. But if we send the product to the US and most of our clinical trial material for our customers are tested used in clinical trials in the US, we have to also comply to the US GMP regulation. And also there so far, we never had any issues. I have to say that also through all the meetings where phage meetings, a lot of them FDA and people from FDA were joining there, and they're really open for scientific discussions because they know how they are not defined stuff. So we have to discuss all together. So, and when we prepared the CMC documentation, so far things went well. So I have to say there are some differences, but in general, for us, we went we everything went smooth, and we also sent to the Australia, so that was an additional agency. But yeah, there are brief differences, but so we managed to do all of them so far. Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah. So now let's pivot to your company, like where you guys are, because you also talk about you guys do CRO and CDMO for different projects. So talk about us, like where are you with your company now, and what services do you guys provide?
Yeah, so general, and this is not a sales talk, but this is really no, it's really, and that's there are two reasons, or maybe can we so in general, yeah, we still, since we started as a from the academic point of view or the PhD, we still do love research. It's not only GMP, and that's why we love the phage field on all different areas where can be used. And what I say, well, it's not a sales talk. So we do believe that as a Geoffral, we can be successful if our partners are successful. So which means if our partners that are doing clinical trials are successful, which means that we hear a lot of time, yeah, GMP is expensive, so we cannot afford the clinical trials and stuff like that, which is of course true. That's the fact, but we cannot avoid the regulation. But what we can do, and that's why if we are doing a lot of projects or a lot of work, we learn through that. If we learn through that, we can make more efficient processes. If we make more efficient processes, we can, and we did that in past, we are doing that, decrease the cost of the production. If we are decreasing the cost of production, that means that more groups, companies can afford clinical trials, at least that part. There are also the clinical trials themselves, which is also. So with that one, we hope that we help the whole phage community to get more data. With that one, more chances to fetch the technology as a whole, as a also gene delivery is successful for us. So trying our partners help them to they helped us on the whole field. So this is also going back to your question. This is where we are seeing us as a being a exclusive CMO, not having our own products as a Geoffral, but helping others to be successful and be that puzzle and the whole picture of the piece of the puzzle and the whole picture of the phage therapy to help with manufacturing knowledge to others to be successful. And this is sometimes it's what I say, it's a lot of time. We through all these years, 10, 15 years, we also made a lot of mistakes, or we didn't know what to do, or and with that one, when we get a new partner, we try to tell them not to do that and that, or be careful because we made a mistake. So save them some troubles, and with that one, increase possibility of success for them, and of course, link to us also then for us.
Yeah, I know you said it's not a sales talk, but that was quite the pitch, So
Yeah,
give
this
us
is true.
a
No, it's a yeah.
yeah.
Good.
Well, you totally persuaded me. And so give us a sense, just in general, you don't have to be specific. What would be an average cost, time-wise, financial-wise, for, let's say, a new company have a new phage they would like to further investigate? Like how much do they have to be in their budget?
That's a tough one. That's direct, no, but it they're really a lot of things that will vary that you have to. So it really depends what you want. So clinical trials, what kind of clinical trials, what kind of application, which is IV, which is oral, how many phages, what is the dosage form. So or it's just doing the animal material or tox material. So a lot of variables that can influence on the amount. You mean for production cost, right?
Yes.
That was, yeah. So yeah, it can. So just doing some stuff. So what one thing is maybe really also different to other big CMOs, where we as a smaller one we are more flexible, but also that we take the projects also on the small scale on the early stages. So I don't know, now I'm making just an example. So somebody is either for the natural phages, they are searching for new phages, and then we work with them at the manufacturing level, and they send us and we say, okay, yeah, this one grows well, so you can, from the production point of view, this is eligible candidate. Or also from stability point of view, which is really important that we are doing stability testing. Or if somebody is doing the GMO phages, that they are changing some stuff either as a DNA or as a gene therapy, let's say, on the envelope, and then we are testing how that one performs in manufacturing. So in these cases, so they're like, we can do we are doing the production testing and say, I don't know, USP, DSP on the small scale, sending them or sending for the animal testing. And then also maybe only the analytical testing, the potency, the DLS, the HPLC system, stuff like that. And that can start from, I don't know, 1,000 euros, something like that for the early small scale stages. But of course, if something will go to the clinical stage, that can be $500,000 or $1 million. So it depends really the size and all the parameters that are involved.
I see. Yeah, that's great. It's because, you know, this is just a field that is so far away from us. And you also mentioned there are other contract manufacturing mechanisms outside there. Do you see any competitions in this field as of now, I guess, regarding bacteriophages?
Yeah, there are a couple. So it's more often like this, that there are companies where that they build their own GMP facilities. So, and they are producing for their own, and sometimes they can also do for somebody else if the capacities are free. Of course, in that case, it can be a bit of conflict of interest that because you are seeing if you're producing for somebody else, you are seeing the whole process of how they did it. But it's still not so crowded, but it's also it depends how many phage projects are there. So there are some in processes, I understand, but not that I would be aware that would be really so focused on the phages or the phage based projects as we are for that.
Got it. Yeah. So, you know, thanks so much for helping us today to paint this picture of what a good manufacturing practices in bacteriophages looks like. And, you know, I would love to keep hearing more news from you and Jafrel. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Frank Smirker, founder and CEO at Jafrel, a leader in GMP for bacteriophages. I'm Stephen Young, and this is the Phage Therapy Today podcast. Thanks for your continued support, and remember to subscribe, follow, and give us 5 stars. If you have any story to share or have any feedbacks, email us at phagetherapytoday@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your week.